I've done a lot of things. I'm an accomplished 32-year-old.
That's right. You're just barely older than me. Do you turn 33 this year? Or no, you turned 32 already.
No, dude. Am I 32? What year is it? Yeah, I'm 32. I just turned 32.
That's right. You just turned 32.
I was like, wait, am I 33?
I was going to say, you're not 2 years older. You're like just a few months. I turned 32 in November.
Oh, yeah? Are you nervous about it? I'm excited.
Why are you excited about 32?
No, I'm excited about... Yeah, this is like the last year. Every year is like the last year, you know what I mean?
You've always had like a crazy zest for life. I feel like that probably stemmed from your childhood, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it stemmed from having cancer at 14. And then
let's talk about that.
And then going...
It was 14.
Like,
I thought it was younger. I thought it was like 9, 8 or 9.
No, I was 14. My brother, too. 14, both of us.
At the same time?
No, when he was 14. He's
how much older is he than you? I forget.
He's like 5 years older.
That's right. That's right. Alberto.
Yeah. So, facing it right in the face and being like, oh shit, that's death. Look at that.
What, like as a 14-year-old too, especially because you're so emotionally fragile for anything that you face, what was it like to look at cancer as such a serious adult thing as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, I think because my brother had it, I was just like, oh, if he could do it.
Because he beat it before you had it.
He beat it. And there's a bunch of people in HOMA at the time that had cancer, and they're, you know.
Was there something in the water or something?
Yeah, it's definitely.
Like an Aaron Brockovich situation?
There's definitely a lot going on.
You have a lot of mixed feelings about HOMA in general, though, right?
Yeah, it's a small town. You know?
It's a small town. I'm the same.
If you're from a small town, you're just like, that's your whole world for a while.
Yeah.
And then you get back, you get out of it, and you're like, whoa.
How often do you visit HOMA?
Not too much anymore. Maybe like once a year I'll end up for some reason being there for like seeing a friend. Or I'm actually going Thursday because a friend of mine passed away from HOMA.
You want to talk about that or no?
Yeah, he was like one of these buddies like anyone in HOMA that was kind of just like full of life. Like there's a lot of good people that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what was cool about living in a small town. It's like you get to know a lot of these like individuals and become really close to them because like there's no one else to really hang out with, you know. And you're also in
a
lot of people's stuff, you know, like, you know, about and you end up dating a lot of your buddies, like, you know, girlfriends and stuff. So it gets
you share
weird
the same people
town.
Around.
Yeah. Eskimo brothers for life.
Dude, Eskimo brothers.
I was probably Eskimo brothers with John. Like, why wouldn't we be? We both grew
up
in
John?
HOMA. John Cuneo, who passed away.
Sorry. Sorry. I thought John just for a second, your roommate.
Yeah, we have a lot of... That's like
a lot of
very
Johns.
Common name. Jordan.
Yeah. Jordan's...
I used to be
Jordan's
a common name, but then,
less common
then that
John.
Song came out, and now everyone's...
Or that... I mean, there's the musician. You know, everyone loves Bruno Mars.
Who's that?
Bruno Mars. I almost just repeated just his name him. As if that would help you, dude. What the fuck?
Bruno
you know,
Mars?
Bruno Mars? You know, Silk Sonic? You know, leave the door open... Oh my God, I'm so
Oh,
stupid.
You're a musician. That's nice.
I just pretend. It's my facade as I do podcasting. Okay, so...
Do I pour another?
Are you trying to do another shot?
Already?
Of Encian already?
Yeah.
You mad dog. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we did just kick off...
Wait.
We did just kick this off talking about cancer.
Dude,
and
I know.
And
we got
and your
real
friend's
deep.
Death,
and like you're just...
Immediately.
You're just
no, but let's. It's you know the thing. It's
wanting
like
to go there. So
it's
I'm
like Hemingway.
Go there
I think it was Hemingway or Bukowski. One of them said, "You should always start your day with a hangover because it can only get better from there."
Yeah, for real.
So we started our show off with death and facing death, and it can only get better from there.
Because you know, facing death just helps you enjoy life a little bit more. You know,
are we gonna do this whole thing?
No, we can sip on it.
Let's
I just
sip
like
on,
sipping
on
things.
Yeah, this
you know
is a
mean?
Big one. Cheers to you, man.
You know,
cheers to a long overdue episode with you.
There's a lot of overdue things, Jordan, between us.
Yeah, my bill as well. My rent bill from 2015.
Was it 15? Because, yeah, No, that was
I can't believe that you didn't tell me that I did that until about 5 days ago. I can't believe that I did it. At least I mean, I wrote a song about you.
What?
Does that make up for it a little bit?
You're right though. You know what I mean? Like, you know how expensive it is to like get somebody to write a song for you?
Dude, the studio, the musicians. Yeah, right? Like, I flew this dude to Germany. I flew people like, to Germany.
Got you.
Busted.
Joke's on you, Jordan.
Oh my God. I should bring you $300 of merch. Just stacks of CDs.
Mm. No, I think you know, it was always just a suggested donation. You're always welcome to
I feel like that well
to sleep in my bed with me. I think we were dating, actually. We were, I don't even know.
I think the last month before
I think
I moved,
Sarah and we me dating. And you were just all in this weird threesome, right?
I mean, it was a threesome where nobody was getting off.
Nobody. Only Papillo. The toy poodle.
for if you don't know, obviously you don't know, Bruno and I used to live together for, was it like 2 years, a year and a half, something like that?
Well, Efi actually is the one we invited, and then you just showed up.
I just stayed.
Yeah, and then she left.
She left me.
She's like, I'm going to Germany. She left you.
She left me, and then yeah, I globbed onto you. And
you're
I
like, can I stay on your couch?
Dude, I was, I remember Sarah, a friend of ours and your old ex who you lived with. I remember, I was at the University of New Orleans cafeteria, and I was, you know, in the throes of being broken up with. I didn't have anybody else yet, and I was really going through you can't imagine the tough time I went through, dude.
I saw your tears.
Oh my God, man. Like, I was so horribly heartbroken.
I mean horny, right?
Horny. So horny. I was at the time, which was a really bad coincidence. My parents had left Slidell to work. I think my dad got a part-time, or not part-time, but a temporary job in Arkansas. So my parents were selling their house in Slidell, but I was staying there and was just only leaving for school and when they did showings for the realty.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, dude, I was heartbroken all day, would kind of even avoid people a little bit, and then I would drive all the way home to Slidell, which is like 45 minutes, maybe. Yeah. Get to Slidell on Lakeshore. Yeah. Get there. Empty house. So no one to talk to. No sadness. One to see. TV's off.
In
radio's
Slidell.
Off. In Slidell. In a suburb.
Have you been to Slidell? Oof.
Not really. No. I've very been there. I've super been there. Dude. And at that time, I'm there. I'm in the house alone. And I'm grieving. And I'm going to Rouse's in Slidell and buying those deluxe 2 gallon jugs of white wine and just devouring them.
God.
Just watching Comedy Central on my TV in the room. You know, there wasn't TikTok yet. Instagram was kind of rolling, but you're just looking at everything. You're just like Facebook. It was really Facebook, Comedy Central and jugs of white wine every day. And then at some point I was in the cafeteria at UNO and I don't know if I asked if I could stay with you or through Sarah, or if she offered. I think she offered.
It was in the cafeteria at UNO?
I was texting with Sarah. Wow. And Sarah, I'm positive she offered it because that you guys could both see I was falling apart.
Yeah, I think saw it in your face.
Yeah, I mean, I was always crying.
Tears of joy.
Dude, and she offered that I could stay at your place. And I think it was definitely more expensive than the rent I had at Patrick's. Not to say that the offer wasn't cheap from a lot of people.
That place was stinky.
Patrick's place. No, okay. Dude, I mean, it was this old grandma house in Metairie, so it should have been cheap. And then I think it was $300
a
month.
Funny, that's crazy. Yeah, it was $300.
Which is reasonable. Which is so reasonable.
Which is crazy, because the prices of stuff right now in New Orleans for rent are just
it's skyrocketed,
insane.
Right?
It's if you can find a place for $1,000, it's
somebody crazy. Somebody said they were excited to get a place that was pretty small, the size of Efi's old Crate and LePage place, but for $1,200.
I know, and that's whoa,
that's nuts. That's a like deal Brooklyn. Right now,
you know. So it's like, it's funny how like such short time things like have just blew up, you know. And that's probably just because where we're at in the world right now. But
that housing market is a situation that's all over the world. It's the same in Munich.
Yeah,
that's the same where my parents live in Tennessee. It's like an all around. It's crazy how the inflation just hasn't stopped bubbling.
Yeah.
Like our apartment in Munich is already, I believe, double the price of what we purchased for it. And if you can imagine how expensive that apartment is, like the size, you know?
Yeah.
In Munich, in like center Munich.
Dude, yeah. It's a nice spot.
It's a nice spot. I mean, I'm going to hate leaving it.
I know, right?
I'm really going to hate leaving it. But like to go to this house, it's already more than double the price of what we got for it. So like
it's crazy.
Flipping it is going to be a breeze. We put new floors in. We painted everything new. Like it's going to be crazy, but
yeah. That's what y'all been like kind of like doing right now, huh? Just like moving, getting ready for this move with like these two kids and like this whole.
I mean, the big problem, did I tell you the story about the life? Or like the situation with the tenants who live in the house that we bought?
The ones that won't leave?
That was it.
This story?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, like, for those who listen to the show, I don't think I've talked about it too much. I don't have to go into a lot of detail, but basically, we got this house that we really liked, and we locked the contract with a realtor. And in Germany, it's obviously very common that if you buy property, there's people who are renting it from the previous owner. And there are strict renters' protection rights in Germany. It's like a huge deal.
That doesn't really happen here, I feel.
I feel like you just get booted out here.
Dude, yeah, it's like weird, especially in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They're trying to get better. That's what's nice, I guess, about living in, I guess, in Europe, right?
I mean, we can get to that next, too. There's definitely, I think you know me well enough to know that I think New Orleans is the best place in the world, and I miss it a lot.
The 6 months here, 6 months there.
That's like the dream. That's the dream, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But there's something about the systems in place in Germany that's my dream, too.
6 months in your house.
You're more than invited, Bruno. You know,
so I'm
that.
Waiting for this new house so that I can just...
Dude, just have a bunch of dogs or kids or whatever and just come over.
I should just get my like a van in Europe and then just park it outside your house.
You can afford it. Just come over.
Let's go, right? I got a van here, then van there, and then, you know.
You're doing pretty good. Come over.
Yeah, van. Yeah.
Come on over. But like the situation is that, yeah, there's these like strict renters' rights and are really, really good rights for these renters. And long story short, by law, we only had to offer them 3 months before we
kick them out.
But we went in there with like, oh, whoa, we don't want to do that. Why don't we offer like 6 or 7 months? So we had so Ify and her dad and this tenant, the guy, had a meeting together. And she said, she offered that 6 months.
Yeah.
He said, I want 18 months. And they were like, whoa, that's kind of a big leap.
Bro, I'm trying to live here. Come on.
And then finally, her dad and some people, they came together and they said, well, how about a year? How about we settle on a year? That's right in the middle of what we both
said. That makes sense.
And so the guy goes, all right, let me talk to my wife about it. So he goes home. And then a couple of weeks later, he comes back and he's like, I want 18 months. And that's where it all started, man. Then it was just paperwork, games, stuff that like doesn't, but like he was asking stuff from us as a what do you call it? Like leverage for him to sign the paperwork that we didn't have to deal with. He said, I want you to get the utility bills from the previous owner from 2018 until now because he never sent them to us.
Oh my God.
But that's not our problem.
It's like a nightmare. When we moved here, the Big Blue House, we had like sort of the same thing where they just didn't want to leave.
Right.
You know? You just gotta annoy them until they leave.
I mean, you're working on it.
You just set up. We're doing that right now.
You're doing it right now. That's why we're doing a podcast outside for those who can't tell.
So they can just, John and Vivi, just, you know, they're supposed to be here 1 month.
Was that the original deal?
The original deal was they, like, their house got flooded. And then.
That's right.
By the way, I was talking about that the original people, not John.
You were
and
talking
Vivi.
About different people
we
before.
Love John and Vivi.
Yeah, we're just
they're
kidding.
Our homies.
The listeners, the listeners know Vivi.
It's like, God, why they're still here? But. But the whole deal was, yeah, like 1 month. And then that was the month COVID hit.
Right.
And so it was kind of just like, whoa. I guess y'all can keep on hanging out.
Yeah.
The world's locked down now. So then it just totally worked out. You know, I mean, that they
It's a good yeah. group of people in this one house, man.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think, yeah, cool. I think if I was living here, I'd be really jealous that I haven't squeezed into one of the rooms here.
I'm surprised. I was just waiting for you guys, like, to not work out over in Germany, and then, like,
and then
you
come
just
squeezing over
pop
here
into my couch.
Oh, dude.
Whenever I'd be like, Jordan, where's $300, man?
You owed me that for years, man. For years. Hi, Jordan. It's 6:30. I'm going to start playing piano at full volume just to get back at you. Dude, that would absolutely have been what happened. Like, whenever we talk about like dream houses that we would, if we could in some future, like buy in New Orleans, yours is the first one. We're like, we got to get one like Bruno's.
Yeah.
It's the perfect size. It's got a great backyard. It's beautiful. It's like,
dude,
built right.
It, yeah,
it's a great home.
We feel very blessed to be here.
How long have you been in this house by now?
Oh, man. 2016? What year is it?
2022.
It's been like...
So it's 5 years.
Yeah.
Five or 6 years.
Dang.
I thought it was longer than that. So before that, you were still at 10th Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
We lived, yeah.
Right. Well, that was our old house together, which was also a cool place.
Yeah.
Still, this one has way more character and way more space, but that was also a cool place to live.
Better vibes.
That was a good. That was the perfect college home.
Exactly.
That was the perfect college
close
place.
Close to college. You can go to college and
it was
come
close
back.
To college. We had our own space, but also like you and I tended to at the end before I moved start migrating more to that living room, and we had the Super Mario 3 on Wii.
Yeah,
that was the bomb.
We did have. We actually threw really good parties too there.
Dude,
during
okay.
college.
We have got to talk about
university.
Our parties. We have got to talk about our parties, dude.
Yeah, place too. Like
we had the best hands down. The only people that can maybe compete with how cool the parties were is the EFI house, the Elysian Fields Independent House.
Dude, they're still on lot like that. That is the party house still.
I mean, that is a great party house. It's a great party
because
house.
You could like really like they were cool with you making it all you know messy.
You could do anything there, dude.
We had some
standards.
Upper class, not really. We had standards.
It was never that. I'd say it like I think people just understood to not trash it that much.
Yeah.
But Elysian Fields, you go into a dumpster and you think I can treat it like a dumpster. So they come to our place. I'm like, this is a nice house.
Nice.
I'll take my shoes off. Why is that for Breeze? Psst, psst. Dude. But like, well, we had such good parties. I remember the most famous. Or for me, the most famous like party we had, even though it was one of the smaller ones, was the premiere of Fresh Ground.
Yeah,
that video we worked on together.
My gosh. We shot it in that room too.
Right, the green screen. We shot it in the back.
I was, man, and in the garage. Like we shot that
the
was gr- like
oh,
the original
space scene. Okay, dude, guys, if you haven't seen my old music video for a song called Fresh Ground, go
check
watch
it
after the show because I'll put the link in the description because it's really like the best absolute. Best version of like what DIY friends can make.
Yeah,
it's quality.
I still use it today as like my professional reel. Like this is
of course,
is the type of music videos I make. You know, because it was like that was
I can't
was
believe
so
we
cool,
made that
cool like, about that. It was like, hey, let's go make something we actually want to make.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
where we could, it was hard to find that kind of thing in like the industry. You know, you're always just making. Whatever, so it's cool to be able to now still use you know that as like hey, this is the type of projects I'm doing, you know, which is
man,
which
you know,
is
like
hard for a lot of people to like find that, you know.
When I go through you know your production company that you founded is Worklight Pictures, and I'll put that link in there too for people to check out. But when I go through Worklight's website,
you mean all your music videos?
I was gonna say, like, I always get so nostalgic. I go there, you know, the only thing missing I think is the scout. Which I'm more than happy
to
send you, Bruno.
There's a secret tab if you press the you know the last video three times.
It's the red, it's the corner red circle at the top of the browser. Dude, it's the scout. Oh yeah, we'll talk about that later, but like as you can probably tell by now, Bruno and I have known each other for a super long time, and we worked on so many projects. And Fresh Ground was just one of them where I felt like, oh man, this guy gets what I want, and I feel like I'm trying to give him my best performance, and like I want to do the best.
We're trying to make good stuff, you know?
Dude, I think
we were striving for like this quality.
The VFX, you know? Also, like my favorite sequence is by far the space sequence.
Oh yeah.
And like we were in your garage. People had built the best sets
in a garage. Like it was the smallest little garage.
Oh my god.
Like it barely could fit like this like Civic, you know? It was
it was a pretty small garage. But it still had so much potential, and we built this like cardboard setup. Like it was like a spaceship with a steering wheel that I would pick up, but it looked like good.
Yeah,
it was like whoop.
It was like good design.
Good design. And I remember like when you said action, I was or no, that was Will's segment. We had three directors
on it, so we had it broken up to. I was working with like all of them, which was kind of cool.
Who was the first?
And Ben Dude, too. Ben Dude, you were like sort of like kind of the executive of it all, you know what I mean? Which was
I guess you have to approve.
No, it was cool. Yeah, it was a cool way of collaborating.
But the first one was Ben Dude. Is that the first one? The child sequence.
Yeah, it was.
Then Matheny,
and then
Matheny was the water, right?
And then Ben Matheny with the
and then
water.
Will Addison was which we'll talk about Will more later because of Easy Does It, but was such a great project. And I remember this, I have this memory always, Fresh Ground, the space sequence. If you watch that, when the space character breaks free from his prison and goes into the escape pod, and it cuts into the escape pod, which is already like, how did
like
they shoot
what?
That? And Matt Martinez is in that video, which we just had on the show.
The team was there, man.
But I remember like dropping down into the escape pod, which looks so sick
on
the camera. And all I was doing was holding on to one of the like support bars in your garage.
Yeah.
And I was
like
holding on like, okay, I'm ready. And they're like, okay, action. Woof. And I'd fall down and pull the steering wheel up.
Yeah.
And I'm a little, I don't normally say this, but when we just literally opened up the garage door so that it looked like I was speeding into like ultra speed into space.
Right.
I'm kind of proud of the acting there too.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
It's just like the awe and
so
the freedom
good.
And like the
it's
yes,
just,
you know?
Oh man, that's such a cool like DIY trick. That,
yes.
You know, I totally forgot we even did that.
You opened the like, garage door just
so,
to make it bright, bright,
that's
bright,
so,
bright.
Like, I feel like speaks to the style I go for. You know, it's just like use what's right in front of you. What trick can you pull so that like.
Yeah.
It kind of like makes it more magical, but you don't have to like go out of your way and like try to plan this very specific thing. You know
right.
what I mean? That sometimes you lose like the magic in like what you're creating whenever you get stuck on like trying to make something very perfect and like have to get like the right equipment to make it happen. Where it's like a lot of time on set, if you can just like bring in that energy that everyone has and.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's in the room, you know, as long as you can like harness the energy and get everyone to like to be on board, you can like make something good and pull off these cool little, you know, tricks that like ends up being magical in the end, you know.
Absolutely. Cool. And I think I have to say I feel so lucky that we had our UNO film group exactly the way we had it.
Yeah, right.
I can name you right now 20 people who were in our group who made everything just the energy, the motivation, good people, fun to hang around. They became our friends, our girlfriends, our boyfriends. Like everything in the circle
dude,
was like, dude, I mean, just thinking about people who could do more than one thing. Like, you know, back in the day, Sarah was someone who could do like first AD and she could do stills and she could do headshots. And she was like, you know, doing this and doing that, and then you're a DP, plus you can edit, you know, plus you can direct, and like I was trying to act but also write things but also do music and like
everyone like world
you have
many
Leanna,
hats
you have Susan, you have Corey, there's Danny, Bent, like I don't want to name all these people that you guys don't know, but this group was like
such a solid crew.
Like the 48 hour film festival here in New Orleans, it was always like which of the 20 am I going to go with, you know, it was so excellent. And I think what I'm trying to get to is that all of this good people, great generation to be a part of at UNO culminates, I think, in a sense, to Easy Does It.
Yeah.
How do you feel now that it's been about a year or two since it's released officially out for like into streaming? How do you feel about Easy Does It, which is a feature film that you worked on?
I think the most current emotion I had was like us hanging out today at the Bayou, right? And I was just sitting there and I was just like, man, I'm so glad I'm not working on Easy Does It right now.
You did not. You did not think that today. Oh my God. You know, what a clip.
In all respect to Easy Does It, it was like it was just like the never ending project that like sucked all of us in, you know. It was like this black hole of us trying to like create this like amazing thing, and like we were saying earlier, we're all about that quality, you know. We want to bring like the best. Everyone wants to wear as many hats and bring the best of those, you know, those positions to the table.
Yeah.
And like it takes a lot out of you, you know. And you know, every day is like you put that energy into it, and it feels good to be done with it. And it felt good to just like be there hanging out with our homies. You know what I mean? Like
that's the thing.
That's I guess what I'm trying to like like highlight. It's just like it feels good that it's like something you can look back at and be proud of, but not like currently having to do anymore. Like I'm glad we're not making Easy Does It too right now. Like if it would have been like a hit success and we just like, right, you know, we which is, it's an independent film, it'll never be successful.
You never know what's going to go viral in 10 or 20 years, man. You never
I think
know.
If we would have put it on TikTok, like the whole movie in like 10 second segments, I think it would really been
it
a
would
hit.
Have popped.
It would really, yeah.
They'd been like, oh, Terminator
lady? Because it's like hit, you know, it's like great moment after great moment, you know?
What do you say, like, just to inform a little bit before the next question? Easy Does It, big, you know, feature film. Will Addison, one of the directors, he did the space sequence of Fresh Ground.
Yeah.
So he's a director friend of ours. This is his all baby. He wrote crew. It. He directed it.
Yeah.
You were the DP. And all of our friends, this crew we keep talking about, they were everybody on the crew. And the shoot and the reshoots and the process of getting funding and everything was an enormous, five-year process, which
is probably
just,
more. You know, it's like,
you know, which isn't outrageous for an
like
independent
Will,
film.
Will's conception was like while we were at UNO, and you know, right, when we were making other short films, he like
we did a short film version, yeah, where I exactly did the music, and I remember
and so,
loving
like,
that.
I mean, honestly, that's the conception of it. It's like from that moment, you're like thinking about the design of it all, and like what it's going to be, and how you're going to pull it off. You know,
right
at that time, leaving school, we're just like, well, we got to make features because that's how we're going to become filmmakers.
That's how, yeah, exactly. That's,
and, you know,
that's
it's like, we got to stop making these stupid, you know, music videos for these artists because they don't get enough hits on YouTube.
Right, right. Yeah, that was the thing.
Which is like, these are fun and awesome, but like, this is how we're going to, you know, create a career.
Well, you're taught that if you don't do features, then you can never get attention at Tribeca or Sundance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
want to be
if
on
you
the
don't,
top
well,
yeah, film festivals. And, you know, right, it's like, and now it's like, you know, I only go to film festivals because I want to hang out with my friends. Like, I'm not,
right, now you
I'm
can
not
do it,
trying to, like, get into top film festivals anymore. I'm
well,
just,
dude, anybody who works in film, television, it, or music understands that the way the business works is not the way that even you were taught back in school. It's already changed again.
I know. Exactly.
It's
now they're like, no, go to YouTube. It's like, that's like, yeah, like the last festival, like, you know, there was a mentor that talked to us. He's like, you know, film festivals are probably a bad idea. You should probably just get on the internet, go viral.
They said that?
It's just, you can create an audience so much quicker on the internet now. You know what I mean? It's so hard to like go show your film at a film festival, and then like, you know, those five people that showed up. I mean, maybe it was a great screening and you had 100 people, but like still, it's 100 people.
Right.
That like,
are they going to go?
That, like, are they going to go? And you know, like what? They're going to go follow your career now?
Right.
Like, where on YouTube, it's just like this like button you press, and now you're like, you're an audience member. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to write down this one question.
Yeah, right away, while I pour another shot of Incian.
I still have some.
Oh, well, I don't, so. It's okay if I, that means you just have to catch up a whole glass before you can get this hat.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, I have two questions here.
Wait, so they know, is the bet is,
Right.
Jordan will get an Easy Does It official baseball cap that I've been wearing for years and is very worn down, but he likes it. So,
I'm getting literally the one that you and Lizzie wear.
This is the one that
I thought you were gonna like take a fresh one out of a box and let me put it on the dashboard of my car for a year.
You want that? No. Why would you?
Of course, I don't want
that. Why would you want?
I want the one that's already ready to go.
I can give you that one. No. It's actually Ben Matheny's. So we'll just
wait. A fresh one or this one?
A fresh one.
No, you I don't want Ben Matheny's. Who wants Ben Matheny's?
He doesn't know I have it, so don't tell
him.
He's
got lice, man. I don't want Ben Matheny's that.
He got it from Danny, though. So.
Oh, inside jokes. No, but I have two questions.
Wait, they don't get... Danny and... At least Danny and Ben will get these jokes, right?
Yeah. I'll force them to listen to this. Yeah. They're going to... I guarantee, dude, $100 says Danny's going to go, you have a podcast?
They're your only subscribers. What are you talking about? They're the two guys on Patreon that, like...
Yeah, dude, if Danny Abel had that much initiative, he would already be working for SNL because he's that funny.
He is pretty funny.
He's crazy funny.
Funny guy.
We can talk about Danny too in a bit because he was my dorm mate at UNO, and I never thought I'd ever met anyone as funny as him. It was like it hurt my chest. I was laughing all the time.
Dude, yeah, we're surrounded by funny people.
Yes, it is a good crew.
It's kind of hard sometimes.
But I want to ask really quick, just before I forget it. Like, so this project, Easy Does It, feature film. You have all this expectation that from college you have to make a feature to get noticed at a film festival, and that's the way you're going to make a career, you know, and then things change and there's the internet and stuff. But before that all happens and you're in the thick of it, as you look back on the project, what would you say are like a couple of the your favorite things of the process, like the best moments? And what are some things where you say, I'll never repeat that shit ever again? I'm guessing one outweighs the other.
Yeah, I mean, favorite moments is like just...
Yeah, from production to being on set.
The initiative that like we all had, and just like the energy of just like every day looking at something that is kind of, people keep saying, that's impossible. You can't do that. You can't do that with that amount of money.
For that budget, right?
You know, you raised some money on Kickstarter. You think you can make a movie with that?
Right,
So it was like, it was cool being able to just be like, no, we just have to do it. We just have to put in the time. We know how to do it. We just had to put in the time and do it.
Right.
And, like, we've got these homies who are going to help us out, and we're going to pull it off. And it was, like, such a cool energy because everyone who was on that project wanted to be there because they weren't really getting paid, you know, not enough.
They wanted
to
be there.
They had to want to be there because there's no other reason.
That was, like, the UNO mantra.
They were just like, I feel like this is a good thing, and I want to be a part of it. And it was just like so many good relationships created. My best friends to this day, like, were part of that project. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still, like, me and Will got off the phone today because we're working, editing another project, a music video.
Right.
That, you know, we're just constantly still like in this.
Or Ben Dude, you know, or myself, like these songs.
Another German.
Another Wannabe. German, yeah. We've had him on the show. We had him on the show not too long ago.
No way, really?
Yeah, it's a great episode. Ben's was really a great interview.
One day I'm going to convince you Germans to come back to live with me.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm here.
If I built a little like shack in the back.
I'm here.
We'll have two little hammocks for your twins. It'll be great.
I never heard you try to convince Efi, but I'm all ears.
We'd leave her behind.
okay. I'm back now.
No, I'm kidding. She's way cooler than you.
Yeah, I know.
But we like had just so many like times where we like ran into just dead ends, and we're just like, what are we gonna do?
Right.
Like, we literally, the car literally got wrecked, and we still had like totaled pretty much, and we still had shots with it. I mean, like, the story of Easy Does It just like is sort of its own podcast.
That would be a ten episode.
Really, we really should like
that would be a good
go
one.
Down that road, because it really was like so painful, but like so rewarding. I mean to the point that we lost some of our best friends doing that. You know what I mean? Like, not physically on the shoot, but like the day we were gonna premiere, our buddy, who's our first AC, JC,
right,
passed away.
Another really
the
good
night
of
the premiere. You know, and
I didn't realize,
like,
it was the night of the
premiere.
It
was kind of like this last, like, fuck you from Easy Does It, you know, because it, like, it really, like, did sort of also tear up some relationships. You know what I mean? It wasn't, It was right. A true art form. It was just like, it wasn't easy and like, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't. And there's, I know we don't have to mention it, but there is obviously this specific one name that I think from the production side has this like kind of sour taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Yeah.
When it comes to the shoot, because of the way that it was handled, like, from his or her.
Yeah, everyone just has their idea of how to like do things, you know, sometimes. And like, if you try to take too much control over something, it sort of can fall apart very quickly.
Yeah.
And so like, there was definitely days that like felt like we weren't all on the same page, you know, but we had to just keep, we kind of almost just had to be in tunnel vision and just like, just keep doing my job, you know. It's just like,
yeah,
I'm here to do my job and we'll figure this out down the road. And you know, eventually it just takes time like apart to like grow again together and continue to do other projects. But there's definitely like it's not always like super easy to pull off something that people tell you is impossible, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, and there's so many great accomplishments just in general, like the way that this team, regardless of the downsides or people that you have different relationships with now, the fact that you're able to pull off that budgeting in the end and to get like a name, you know, Linda Hamilton to play this interesting role. Yeah, you know, if anyone's ever seen the legendary T1 and T2, it's like Linda Hamilton is excellent and she's great in this movie, and I think to have a name like that, you know, and was it right, and is it Benjamin Bratt? No,
Brian Bratt.
Benjamin Bratt's from Miss Congeniality.
Benjamin Buttons.
Benjamin Button from Mad Men.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I when I saw Easy Does It, I hadn't watched Mad Men yet.
Oh yeah.
So Brian Bratt, and I was like, oh dude, he was in Mad Men.
He was in Mad Men.
So then now I'm watching Mad Men. I'm on season 3 and somewhere in season 2 or season 3, have you seen it?
Mad Men, yeah.
There's this great episode when Brian Bratt's character and John Hamm's character go, I think, to Florida or Miami. Well, that's the same. They go somewhere on vacation together for business. They go somewhere different for business together. I think they go to Miami or they go to California. And John and Brian Bratt has this like great, emotional, subtle, really well-crafted, well-blocked as well, which isn't really necessarily him, but like this really, really well-done scene of him secretly trying to hook up with like the bellboy. Do you remember that? It's a really small thing.
I don't know if I saw that one.
He tries to like connect with the bellboy, and then hilarious. And then you like the way that they blocked them and the way of the tension of the bellboy secret without saying anything says like, I'm one of you too and I'm into this, and they start like hooking up and touching. But then the hotel that they're in has a fire alarm pulled. And as people are scurrying down the fire escape, John Hamm's character sees that Brian Bratt's character is gay.
Oh, no.
And it's a really big reveal. And I remember I saw that and I paused it and went, oh, this guy is an amazing actor.
Yeah. Dude.
Because you see him in Easy Does It, you get a different image.
He had a lot more fun with us. I think he was there like, yeah. This wasn't the most serious role for him. He was kind of a goof.
Definitely,
you know? Yeah.
But it's fun.
He's definitely one of my favorites.
Like a Coen Brothers goof, you know?
It was
like
great. He came in and brought all of his sass and his energy and really enjoyed, you know, being part of the whole thing. Like, you could tell, like, on set, he was, like, all about it, you know? So
I think if people want to see this movie, because we're talking about it a lot, I was even able to rent it on iTunes in Germany.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can rent
it. You just looked up your name?
And just no, dude.
Things Jordan Prince has worked on.
Jordan Prince is cool.
In Germany.
Oh, but I had a follow-up question. I think this you touched on this a little bit with how, you know, independent filmmakers submitting things to film festivals was the go-forward rule set in place if you wanted to make it, right?
Yeah.
But now you have a world. We just had Josh Starkman on the show last week, and you know, there's something about this influencer world that we're in.
For sure.
Like, you know, he and I
have an audience, so I'm famous.
Right, but here's something you kind of touched on that was really interesting. Like, if I think about TikTok, which has been overall, in general, the most successful platform for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about what I contribute to it and how much response I get back from it, like effort versus reward.
Right.
You were talking about, you know, this film being broken up because of its great moments and put on. Do you think that creatives in film, whether that be writers, actors, directors, DPs, do you think they have to play that role as an influencer to make something happen?
In the sense of, like, I mean, at that point, you're just an influencer, though, I guess, you know. But you're saying,
well,
like,
it's the wrong term, because Josh is an influencer. But, like, do you think you have to play the social media game, like, in a new way?
Yeah, I think
to draw attention to your film.
In general, yeah, I think you definitely have to be in that social media world to, like, at least promote it or get people to, like, hear about what you're doing.
And for you, you know, like, as a,
I don't think you would put your film on. That was more of like,
No. I didn't mean like that. Like, but I mean, like,
let's,
you know,
put our whole film on TikTok.
No. But if you have like a great 15-second clip, like, like Brian Batt when he's in the sheriff's office with a baseball bat behind his head, it's a great clip. It's a funny clip. I don't know. It's hard to ask the question, but you think the response is better if people are playing the game? Like, do you enjoy playing that game?
Oh no, I hate that game. But I do see the benefits of, like, you have this great clip and you put it on the TikToks, and then man, people really love it.
I saw it today, for example.
That's a great thing to happen for your film, you know what I mean? It's like, now people are, like, laughing at this one moment in the scene, and they're curious about it, and they'll maybe go check it out.
Well, the reason I brought that up, not to cut off your answer, but, like, the reason I brought it up was because one of our favorite, I'm assuming yours as well, but one of our favorite film production companies, A24, has a new movie coming out called Bodies, 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 and it looks incredible, like, beyond belief. Featured in it is Pete Davidson, and there's a very small, about 11-second scene where a girl off camera asks him, "What are you bringing to the table?" And Pete Davidson says, "I look like I fuck. That's what I'm bringing to the table. That's just my vibe."
Yeah.
Which is funny.
That's so
and then
good.
It cuts to her finally, and she goes, "Oh, okay." And A24's channel just posted that
to the internets.
To TikTok.
To the ticks.
And it was like, just
and that blew up.
Dude, and I saw that today, and I immediately was like, that looks amazing. I went to the IMDb, I went to the Instagram of the movie, followed it. I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. This looks great. So, like, that's a really different game than we were playing back in 2012, right?
And because that game has shifted for all of us as, like, these new filmmakers who are, like, you know, whatever. Like, we released Easy Does It during COVID. Like, everything kind of sort of changed at that moment in the film world, and emotionally, and, like, the whole thing, you know, just, like, the whole industry sort of shifted a bit. We're like, oh man, everyone wants a bunch of to watch stuff.
Yeah,
but we can't make stuff, which you're feeling now, you know. It's a big boom right now.
That
now
is
it's
a,
like,
huge boom
and just, like, in productions in New Orleans, and it's like people wanting to do things, which is awesome because it keeps us busy. But now you're like, man, I was kind of, like, doing these kind of cool creative personal projects during COVID, you know, where, like, I was able to concentrate more on my art and my like, honestly, like, just, like, health and livelihood, where it's like you're starting to, like, stray away from that a little bit at this point, where it's like, oh, cool. Let me just jump on all these, like, different cool projects that, like, will give me some money. You know what I mean?
That's where you are now.
Yeah. But it's like, now I'm, like, leaving behind some of these other, I guess, like, more passion projects that, like, I had more time to think about.
Let's at this moment.
Yeah, take another shot. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I was going to say, let's take a pee break. I'm going to get a new drink, and we can finish this shot. And when we come back, I want to talk about your health and livelihood during the pandemic. All right, y'all. Be right back.
Do I sound weird?
Yes. Like, would you actually want to quit film and work
and do something else
and be a musician?
Oh, no, I feel like,
or something else.
I feel like it just lives in this parallel. I live in this parallel universe of both, in the sense of just, like, music's just a part of me wanting to learn and explore it more. Cause I don't consider myself a musician.
But you are. You play in a band. You play guitar.
No, totally. But it still doesn't feel like I'm going. That's just like when I'm hanging out. It's like almost like a hang with my friends, or like a time I just need alone to like to meditate with some sounds. Because most of the time I'm just like noodling around. You know what I mean? I got a lesson from Josh Starkman. He's like, "You're one of those noodlers, aren't you?" Yeah. I was like, "What do you mean?"
He said that to you?
Yeah, he was a terrible teacher. He's like, "Oh, you don't know Iodian scale?"
Really? Like, he was like that? I remember coming to Josh for help a few years back, and he wasn't quite like that yet.
No. He was just like, "Get in gear, boy. You're about to learn some guitar stuff." You know, like,
there you go.
He has this, like...
I mean, he's got his own vibe going on.
Yeah. Like, me, and John were saying we should start a series where it's, like, both of them trying to teach guitar to me. But, like...
John and Josh.
Yeah, but John's, like, the kind, like, "Yeah, you're doing a great job." Like, you know, like, "Yeah, oh, you play that G major chord."
Sounds good.
"Oh, yeah, like, put a seventh in there." And then Josh is just in the corner. Is like, "Man, you're terrible, dude.
It sucks.
Like, come on, what are you? You can't rip yet, bro."
And he just plays instead of you, like,
yeah. Then he just like plays over me the whole time. Just like
he's like, "See, this is good. This is what good cop, guitar bad cop, sounds like."
Like guitar teachers version.
Dude, Jesus,
because it totally feels like that sometimes when we're all hanging out.
It is, oh, like which, that.
But that's awesome. Like they're all musicians, in my opinion. You know, like they know their stuff.
Oh,
like,
and you,
like
your opinion,
you as well, Jordan.
In your opinion, you know? Josh is a musician. In your opinion,
John is
a musician.
John, in my opinion.
By the way, we're talking about the John that lives upstairs from Bruno currently.
Yeah,
he's a great guitar player.
Yeah,
is he a musician? He's a fantastic guitarist, though.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the best in the city.
He's the best guitar player I know.
He might be the best I've ever met, yeah. But is he a musician? That's to be, you know, decided.
Decided on the future.
Don't know.
But, you know, like, they are always here available to, like, help me figure out things that I'm trying to figure out that, you know.
You're like, always, you're screaming up from the windows, "Hey, guys, what was that chord that I thought?" And then you see them like, "It was the C major."
"Oh, great.
It's like the most basic chord ever."
"You idiot.
Stop bothering us.
We're trying to rip."
And you're like, "Okay, sorry."
Noodling again.
But oh, dang. What
you
was
know,
it?
It makes me feel so good, you know? And like, I could never take that away from me. Is like
I could never
like,
take that away
I could never
from me.
Take the
I like that
where what music is used for in my life by like trying to be serious more serious about it. And maybe that's just like an excuse I give myself to not, you know, just get like put in more time to practice and like get a little better at places like I feel self-conscious about, you know, whatever. And it's also just like because I have a love of film and music and just like learning new things, you know, like
you have
skate recently, you know, it's like now I'm just going to drop everything and go be a skater. It's like
you would do that.
I would
though.
Do that.
You would do that. And then you would make a documentary about yourself and then write the music for it and it'd fucking go to Sundance.
And that's exactly where I'm, you know.
You like this thing you said, you love learning. That has always been so true about you. And not to like toot your ever so lovely horn, but it, especially when good. I was living with you, it was extremely inspirational how your brain moves. Like you're never something especially specific to you is that you're never wasting a minute. Ever. Like if there's a moment of free time you're practicing piano, if there's a moment of free time you're talking to someone that you care about, if there's a moment of free time you're really not just sitting on your phone scrolling through Instagram. That might happen like every single little bit in a while, very much not.
Yeah,
like
maybe on my Saturdays for
like,
sure.
Like, you know, just 1%
of
your time.
I need to get lost here in
this,
in the other people's worlds.
Dude, but even then it's like a conscious effort of like, I want to catch up on people. You know, like you're still thinking about this. But like you've always tinkered with things or tried to like you know, build technical things or learn, like you're always reading manuals or putting cables together or like, oh, I'm building this art project. And then in the meantime, yeah, you're like, I'm learning this guitar riff.
Projects, yeah.
Dude, it's...
Trying to do it.
And you don't even...
A little bit of all of it, yeah.
You do, like, you're jack of all trades, but you're that rare breed that also just doesn't quit on all the little things you kind of know. You yeah. just keep going.
Yeah, just keep, like chipping away at it.
Your piano, you know what I mean? Playing, like, you've been even doodling around on pianos since I've met you, which has been almost 10 years, and you've gotten a lot better.
All right.
You just keep getting better. And like Jordan. Guitar, you're a great guitar. Now you're in a band, you're the lead guitarist. Yeah. You're a much better guitarist than when
it
I
is.
Met
and
you.
And it's all because putting myself out there and just being like...
It's crazy how much effort you put
into
things.
Oh, they want
things.
Me to be in this band? And like, they all know, you know, like theory and stuff. I need to learn some theory, you know? It's like,
that's how I felt in Big Lemois.
Yeah,
I was
right?
so intimidated.
Yeah, because it's like, no, I just like play what sounds good. And then, you know, I never really like
fun.
Yeah, it's like, just like, it makes me feel good when I touch these like instruments,
dude.
You know, and
in
that's
end,
all
that's
it was
all need,
for me
yeah.
for a long time. And then it's just like, no, I think I could get better at this and like help. Yeah. Just, like create music with my friends. And like, it's a good time. Like, we have a show this Sunday right here in this backyard, and we're going to get to, like, you know, show our cool songs to our friends. That
I'm so jealous that I can't be there for that.
No, you're leaving right.
You know, Matt
right
told
before.
Me about that like 3 days ago.
Dude, no.
Our friend Matt's having a
we
birthday party.
We should have just done it as your going away party, too. Surprise!
You're like, surprise, it's Friday morning.
I know. Poor planning.
Our friend Matt has a birthday tomorrow, and he's throwing a big party here at Bruno's house.
We party a lot here.
On Sunday. This
New
is
Orleans.
Also a great, this is a great party house, too.
I mean, New Orleans. Don't say New Orleans. Come on.
Don't say New Orleans, you...
Only if you're
don't
from
say
New
Orleans,
Orleans,
you Germans.
You say New Orleans.
Don't say New Orleans. I love Germans.
Have you done that
New
one?
Orleans.
Oh, wait, can I tell you something? I have to... When I'm on Instagram, I have to scroll past your word of the day.
You don't watch it?
I can't do it. I can't. I
you,
watched it for
really
a long
don't
time.
Like it?
But I'll tell you why.
Oh man,
I'll tell you why. I feel like
just called you inspirational.
I feel like,
and that
it's like looking at
stuff.
Like there's like it's like you always throwing out these like these dad jokes.
It's a little bit of that, a character, yeah.
that makes me miss the heck out of you, you know. And
oh,
like,
you skip it because it makes
it,
you miss me.
And it's just like it's hard to.
I'll take that.
I'll take that. Yeah, yeah. It's not because I suck.
I right thought you were like these dad jokes are
these
so
dad
lame.
Jokes are
I,
so lame. I
like,
just
I just get,
I'm embarrassed for you.
Yeah, like I don't find you as funny anymore on there. I'm like, oh no.
No,
but it's the
I'm
opposite.
Not funny.
Okay.
To
you,
but yeah,
that's what's important.
Yeah, yeah. You obviously are doing something that people care about.
Ify, you know? Ify doesn't like it. She doesn't want you either.
She doesn't. Yeah,
not because she misses me, but because she
like,
doesn't
making
like
fun of me.
You know how Starkman kind. You know he talked about on the show like putting.
Well, he's another. I can't do. It's like
well,
something
put,
about
well, hold
my
on,
friends
hold on, hold
trying
on.
Things on the internet that
hold
just
on.
Drives me crazy.
We're gonna. It's a lot to unpack here. Like Starkman, he talked about in his episode, like, is putting on, he has two characters. He has a character,
yeah,
this weird smile, have a great day guy,
right?
And his character, which is the interviewer
character
for his, like, yeah, his like game show, yeah, talk show thing.
No, he's hilarious.
In my thing, there is definitely this entertainer energy, yeah, and obviously I think about what I want to say and how I want to say it and how can I appeal, yeah, to people.
But that's you, right?
But it's not like, I don't think I'm putting on like a crazy character like him.
Right.
I think it's definitely like 85% my actual self,
yeah,
and 15% of like higher, right, energy.
Of course.
Or something. And that's why I was a little bit worried, like, oh no, are you putting me in the same box?
No.
Let's have a great day. Because I think Ify does.
Oof.
She's like, I just don't like you put on this thing.
Well, I guess like putting yourself out there on the internet, like.
But if you just don't like seeing your friends try
like,
on the internet,
I'm
that's
scared,
different.
I'm scared of doing that. Like, I wouldn't do that, you know, in a way.
But you've always been a behind the camera
I've
guy.
I've been, right. And so, like, it's hard to put yourself in front of the camera.
For sure.
I mean, I feel like I've done it before, and I've
I think this is the most,
every time.
This is the most, like, technically in front of the camera you've probably ever been. With me.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, you know, in front of the camera.
Well, like, if this, I mean, this sometimes is a film podcast, but like, you know, putting yourself,
yeah,
out there for people to listen to you.
Yeah,
this,
yeah,
is kind of a bold,
sure,
thing for you.
Totally. Because, like, I love hiding back there.
You do.
You know?
You really
it's
do.
It's a safe space.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have to put yourself out there, your image, your.
But what is it about seeing your friends like me and Josh on.
Maybe it's like. Maybe it's just like, I wouldn't say jealous, but
like, no, don't be jealous of what I do.
But it's like,
I don't even make any money from it like Josh does.
Josh makes money? No, he doesn't.
He does, dude.
Then why does he live in like the backyard of somebody's house?
I think
because
it's
New Orleans rent sucks,
dude. Because New Orleans, because the rent is too damn high.
Too damn high.
That's why. I think his setup is cozy, man. He's just saving up, yeah. You know.
No, of course, no. I know he's doing great, man.
He's killing with that.
He's like semi-famous over here, you know? Like, he's our famous friend now.
As he told me on the first day when I saw him, he said, I get locally recognized every day.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, whenever I drive by, I yell out, "Have a great day," when I see him, you know?
But with your middle finger out.
Yeah. That guy sucks.
Have a great day, you loser.
A persona that, like, went against him, but it was just him.
Yeah,
he's sort of a genius.
He is kind of a genius.
Why would you, like, there's just something, like, you have to,
yeah,
there's some kind of authenticity. I feel like when you put yourself out there on the internet, you can't be 100% honest with yourself to mm-hmm. act, because you're mm-hmm. as someone who's always
in
directing
those crafted videos
and having
sure.
Yeah, you kind of have to write a script in a way and something else that for me is like tough to like to do and just like I just want to feel like authentic whenever I am on the internet, which for me ended up just being like to stop being on the internet, sort of. Like,
right. How the most authentic internet presence is the
like
one
I
that
used
isn't
to post
there.
My photos and like, cool, I posted this photo. And then I just saw like where the internet sort of went to this thing where it was like more about you have to be a specific thing and be like
fill your niche.
Yeah. Your niche. And if you're not this character or this character thing, like if you're not like this, like I just want to be random. And it's just like doesn't really work to be random.
I mean, it does
it
in
does
the extent
if
of
you're
like
good
if,
at being random.
Well, if you
specifically
if you, like if you want to do it, no one is stopping you from doing it. But if you want to build a following.
Yeah.
That's hard, right? Because then how do you appeal to people if you're just random? That's the hard thing.
Yeah. It's like a, you know, it's a hard place to
I see what you mean though.
To There's... put yourself out there and like
yes.
freaking you know, there's people in the world. I don't know. Maybe it's just like another reason why I like hiding behind the camera and mm-hmm. like I like being in control and there's sort of like a loss of control when you just like post a video and
when you're
and
so you're, naked you're so yeah. there
like I mean I would post naked photos of myself but that's
as you often do
like
but,
that's just where that's my comfort zone
I
like,
mean
but whenever I have
a package like that
honest and authentic of like what I usually
God, you can't even get
I'm
through
like,
it you can't even get through it dude but with like you have such a great point about this character putting on like what that means for you and how it kind of feels a little inauthentic but there's this interesting fine line that's being drawn especially with the app TikTok which like I find that people migrated so strongly towards because Instagram became so polished.
Yeah.
TikTok showed this weird raw side, people just in their car saying like, I hate my job and it would be
weird,
a viral video.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's this fine line of like, definitely people like me and Josh, even though we have very different content, stuff that we make, like, of course, with the German word videos, I think, how do I want to say it? And I do one or two takes. Yeah. And then I do the next bit. So it's a scripted. I think about it. I practice it. If I don't like it, I just redo it.
Right.
And then I edit it together and I put the music and I put the subtitles and there you go.
And
it's
a like
crafted
for me,
video.
All that sounds like the stuff I do to like make money, you know, like in the film. It's like all those are all those little steps you have to do. You have to export your video and you have to go and post it on the and like so it's like. I guess it becomes a job and like
it is like a
I
job.
Always liked it the like idea of like Instagram being this place where I can just like showcase something like
every poster
a
becomes,
moment I captured and it was just like easy for me, you know, and it felt like, oh cool,
this
it's
is
out
fun.
There. I don't have to worry about it. And then it like became like I had to think more about it. Mm-hmm. And so like I got scared of it a little bit.
I think
so
that's
it's
an
like
excellent point.
Seeing you guys out there, it's just like I kind of cringe for y'all in a way.
Sure.
Because, like, I feel it's more of a personal thing, but it definitely, like, it's not like I'm not excited and proud of what you guys are creating and like this,
sure,
finding y'all voice on the internet. It's just like,
but that's a great point you said about like it used to be a thing where you'd know that like some of your peers and your friends and your family would see a cool photo that you posted and you could just post it and relax.
Yeah.
But now everyone who has an account on any social media platform has a job to do.
Dude.
And that takes the fun out of it. Yeah. But what I wanted to say before is there's this, just to finish that thought, there's a little fine line now because you're totally right. It is a job and there's a character to do and it's a scripted thing and it can be really weird and it can be cringy, sure. Yeah. For things I do or Josh or even people who have like millions of followers, be cringy. Mm. But there's this interesting fine line that's being drawn, I think, on the app, specifically TikTok, which is going live. Yeah. Because I've been practicing a lot more that recently, just trying it. Like, what does that mean? What does that feel like? What is that
there's
title?
Yeah, there's no cutting. You know, it's like...
It's just somebody in the room at all times. And either you are good at interacting and...
It's like Twitch, right?
It's like Twitch. It's like Twitch. Twitch is... Yeah, it is like that.
Check out Sushi Dragon on Twitch.
Dude, and the Twitch people are great.
That guy's crazy.
Twitch is like so... Their creators, they're so good at interacting with a wall. Yeah. Yeah. And like drawing money in and drawing viewership in.
It is wild. And I tried I try to do it with like this DJ thing.
Mm-hmm.
With me and Golden Girl, Sam De La Fuente, who started a podcast with Lizzie, Subtextual, which is...
It's called Subtextual. Huh?
Yeah, it's been a... I'm a producer on it because, you know, I'm cool like that.
I'll put the description in the... link in the description.
I'm dating one of the hosts, so no big deal.
Which one?
The prettier one. I mean, wait, they're both pretty. Sorry. That's just rude.
He's kidding. I'm kidding.
Beautiful.
He meant me.
But it's cool because I don't know why it's cool. I'm going to get beat up later. Moving on. Where were we?
Anyway,
another shot.
Going like Twitch. You said you were talking about like going live on Twitch.
So we tried it. You know what I mean?
We tried it for Subtextual.
Sam from Subtextual. We did where she did like a DJ set and I did the DJ side of it.
Right.
And like I did the visuals and we just got some cameras pointed at ourselves hanging out and we played some music and I did some cool visuals because I'm really into doing that. You know, where like they're audio reactive and like we were...
It's kind of how we did the Simple Swimmer
like
video.
Something I got really into, you know, which is like kind of been going, been helping with like choosing some of the style of music videos I've been doing, you know,
right?
Which is cool, you know. It's like going from something that could just kind of be a hobby or just something for fun that we kind of discovered during COVID, ended up being something like I'm bringing into my work a little bit more now, which is just like experimenting with how you can push digital, you know, pixels and videos, you know.
Well, how did it go? Like, how did the Twitch experience go?
It was awesome, but then like we did it maybe twice, and like the first we're gonna do this every Wednesday, you know, and just like
we just can't do it.
It's just so much work, you know.
You have to be so consistent.
Like, they're starting their podcast. I was like still doing my life, and it's hard to just like commit. And some of these people
committing.
Do it every day.
Hours every day.
All day.
All day.
And that's how, like, they have a career.
There's a gamer that I follow called Small Ant. I started following him because the way he plays Super Mario Galaxy will make you cry. It's, not Galaxy, sorry. What was the new one?
Like...
Super Mario Odyssey.
Like, why did you ever even try to play video games?
The way he plays Super Mario Odyssey is like, it's like watching, I don't know, watching Alex Honnold climb, you know, what's it, El Capitan.
It's just,
you know,
that, it's just
like,
that
that's so beautiful. Scary and so risky and so beautiful. I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and he plays, and this dude's like 22 or whatever, and his following is so enormous because of how he interacts, how he engages, and he plays every day.
Yeah,
he posts schedules. So say I'm doing Zelda on Monday.
He's comfortable with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Mario
Tuesday.
He's found
the thing that he's just like, you know, man, like, I'm good at this, and people like it.
And he's creative, you know? He says he'll get, like, three or four other guys who are in the top streaming category for certain games, like Mario Odyssey again, and they'll do, like, a developer's version of Odyssey where you can play multiplayer where you normally can't. And he'll say, all right, we got this dev's version of Odyssey. We're going to do multiplayer hide and seek with you and with you and with you.
Oh, damn.
And do the and listen, the content creation is so smart. Like, his channel has the most followers. So he invites, like, player A, player B, and player C from their respective channels, which are smaller, to come play with him. And he does, like, a boot cut 10-minute, like, chopped-up version of the game paid for two hours, right?
Right.
And it's super entertaining, and they zoom in on people being like, oh, I can't believe you caught me!
Right.
So it's really engaging. And then,
but do they have, like, a team that, like, helps them do that?
Well,
like,
dude, I have no idea. It's so professional.
It's so impressive.
Dude, and then you think, then later,
it's like broadcast.
Like, and then YouTube will promote to you Player A's YouTube channel, and you see that Player A has a similar video, but it's from his angle. So Small Ant, ABC, all have the same game, cut different from their perspectives to reach to their fans.
The content is unbelievable.
Rainbow. I've never even thought about trying something like that. It's so complex.
Right. It's just like, because
how do they do that?
And that's the game now too. Like, on
YouTube, it's overwhelming.
Too. It's like I've been doing a lot of YouTube tutorial videos of Unreal Engine, because I've been going into the Matrix and the virtual production.
That Matrix Unreal is
it's
so gorgeous.
Ending beauty. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's been
perfect.
It's been a lot of fun, and also, like, broke my brain. But another one of these, like, journeys I've been taking to learn something new, because I'm just obsessed with doing that. And I'm just like,
yeah, that's your thing.
Oh, cool. Like, these people are doing this now. Like, oh, cool, I can make money doing this, maybe. Let's go.
let's go.
And so I just strapped in. And, like, that's how these tutorial YouTubers do it. They have these jam sessions where they all, like, zoom in together and they talk about. But you learn so much from, like, what they're doing. And it's just this beautiful thing, because they're so good at pressing the buttons.
They're so good at pressing the buttons.
All you want to do is be good at pressing the buttons. You know, man.
That's all you want to be good at, man.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy, I mean, not to double back too much on this gamer, but, like,
You're obsessed.
Dude, I am a little bit. I haven't watched him in a while, but, like, I got my Nintendo Switch for my 30th, so almost, you know, a year and a half ago. And one of the games I really wanted with it was Mario Odyssey. So that was the first game I got for it. Started playing it a bit, was a little confused by it at first almost. I didn't quite know if it was going to be more like 64 or a bit more like Galaxy. Because those are very different games. Yeah.
Galaxy's fun.
Galaxy's really cool.
I didn't do too much Odyssey. Because it's on the Switch, right?
It's on the Switch.
Dude, I never got a Switch.
I don't know why.
Literally, anytime we'd play, I would steal Sam's.
Dude, of all the friends that can, like, easily afford it, you don't have it. You fucking idiot.
Just never, like, went to GameStop.
Just go order one on Amazon.
GameStop's still, it did well in the stocks, so it's good.
It's good, man.
Yeah, we're good.
I love my Switch. I think it's my favorite console I've ever had. Except for the GameCube.
The thing is, like, I have this fear that I'm gonna go and buy a Switch,
right?
And then, like, they're gonna make Switch 2. But I've been having this fear since, like, the first Switch came out.
But here's the: would you get the Switch 2 if it came out? Probably not.
No, I'd buy the Switch 1.
You'd buy the Switch 1, but
it's
for,
like,
half the
discounts.
Price. Busted.
I'll buy. I would buy your Switch 1, and then you would buy the Switch 2.
Okay.
That's my game.
I can keep my games. That's no problem. But, dude, I got the Switch for my 30th, and Odyssey came with it, and I was a little confused at first. I didn't quite get the handle on it, but I kept pursuing it. And then, I don't know, like, maybe second or third level into it, I thought, oh, now I get how this game wants you to have fun.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, you're supposed to have fun this way. But I was confused. And then I thought, oh, it wants you to have fun that way. And it was like an epiphany.
Yeah.
And then the game, the idea and the concept of the world opened up, and I thought, this is the greatest Mario game really? That's ever existed.
Damn.
And opened
I played
up,
them all except for that one. I need it.
Well,
I'm,
dude. So,
I'm going in.
So that's how I found this creator switch, because I got to a certain world and a certain level and I thought, I just can't wing it. I just don't know how to get this this moon. So. YouTube, level 86, you know, yeah. Star Moon, you know, Monkey's Journey or whatever they say. And then boom, this guy, and he's like, he's playing on a level that is impossible for the normal person. Like, you know, he's doing cheats, he's doing codes, he's doing like...
He's just flying through
it. Like,
oh,
if you pluck this leaf from this plant and you hold it over the island and you drop, and before you fall, you press select,
like,
and then you
appear... all the Easter eggs that exist.
Dude, then you're like, what? And then I was hooked. I followed him immediately, and I've watched hours and hours and hours.
That's what's so cool about, like, we have so much access to, like, information now on the internet. Because I remember when I was a kid playing, like, Zelda 64, I would have to buy these, like... self-guided journals of like how to beat the
books,
game
dude. You I had one for Donkey like, Kong 64
like, this is, you know, this is how you beat the game, like you like follow
you
the
had
book
the paper.
You know, you couldn't look this up on YouTube. Like, the only way you were gonna beat a video game is like you go buy this book,
you buy the comic book. Yeah. That says AB
and then it
AB
takes you
yellow.
Like longer to read the book than play the game.
It's so annoying,
but yeah, now you can just like it's crazy. Not only can you go like see how he beat it, you can see like
how everybody beat it.
Yeah, everyone has a different
dude,
way of
like
doing
one
it
of
too,
my
you know?
One of my favorite I have two game worlds besides Mario that have become my favorite video game universes that I've ever played in my whole life, and that is the video game world of Little Nightmares and the video game world of Inside. Which is also a game for your phone, but it's the same for Switch.
You sent me a game
I probably sent you Inside.
No. It was like a longer one. It was like, you don't know how to play this game.
Whoa. I know what you mean.
Whoa.
This, my friend, is the best mobile game.
I need to tell you about that game.
It's called There Is No Game.
There Is No Game, yes.
And it's perfect.
So I started playing There Is No Game. And like, I download it, and I was like, it was like $5. I never buy apps, but you like
no,
were like,
it's great.
I do if it's like for, you know, I'm like, gonna unlock some, you know, new video camera feature or something, you know, like
sure, yeah,
like
yeah.
Cap very nerdy stuff. But like, I never like buy games. I'll just like play the free games or whatever.
Sure.
Or like, I don't play that many games.
I was the same
on my phone.
I was the same.
So I buy this $5 game because you swore by it, and I trust you, you know, because you've
I
allowed me to discover
whatever you're about to
Pine
say.
Pine Grove.
I stand by this game.
You know, you've.
I got to tell you about Pine Grove in a little bit. There's an update with them.
Please do. There's an update. That's great.
Yeah.
But you know, so I trusted you that this game was the game I needed. So I started playing this game, and I thought it. You know, I thought it was like, this is hilarious. Jordan would find this kind of game hilarious. I get this game. And then at one point, I could not, for the life of me, pass. Like, it was impossible.
It's so good,
and for months, dude, like, months, I'd go back to this game. And to this day, I cannot pass.
No, you still can't pass a part of it.
I can't pass it. And I am convinced
that there
is a glitch in the game.
Okay, you have
to. And there's,
okay.
Because I've literally licked, like pushed, touched
everything.
Like, okay. I've done it all. And
let me ask
like,
you this.
There is no way.
Let me ask you this.
And
okay.
Hold on.
So, for those, okay, so I don't want to ruin anything about the game because you have
slow
to go play
down.
The game. Let's slow down. Did you get past the first stage, which is basically the curtain stage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I've been in the game.
Okay, then there's the Sherlock Holmes stage.
I think I'm in the Sherlock Holmes stage. Where
there's so much more.
I know there is, and that's why I'm so upset. There's like this glitch,
dude,
with like the rug that you need to like pull the rug back and you get a key, but
right,
there is no key anywhere, and like it just keeps going back and forth from like these two like levels,
right,
back, and I'm just like
and you know that you can look at the front and the back,
yeah,
of each place.
And then wait, what? Wait, what? You mean like the cube thing? Like where you can spin.
If I'm your phone and you're playing me, you can look at the front of the stage and press that thing and like whoosh, and see the back of a stage, like the backstage and the front of, like and the front of the stage. It's just a little arrow.
You just do that. Yeah. I know you're talking around. About. Yeah.
Right. And there's also one where you can see under.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, you can see every aspect of these two rooms. There's the room you started in, there's the street, and then there's this. There's the room with the guy with the phone. You know, there's three rooms, and you can see behind each of them, like an outside room. And then there's the room
with this like key that's like got a, and I'm just stuck where there's like a lamppost.
Yeah, you're in the street.
Yeah, in the street. Yeah. And that's where I just cannot, like, I'm telling you, after this podcast, we're looking at it. If you can solve this, I will give you this hat.
Dude, when I show you, I have one stipulation.
I'm telling you, you're going to be like, oh yeah, there's a glitch.
When I show you how to get past this part,
we're coming back.
You have
to
promise that you continue the game to completion.
Oh, for sure.
Because, dude, the
you
story.
Don't understand.
You don't get what this game will do to you. Like, that's only stage two.
I know.
The world building, the story. Moritz Binder, I know you're listening to this, and I know that you're exploding right now because he showed me this game. He's a fan of the show, and, dude, this fucking game is so good.
It's been driving me crazy.
Oh, man. Like, sorry we just had to nerd out on that. But it's called There Is No Game, and it's a mobile game for your phone. It's $5. Go get it. Don't be an idiot. It's amazing. Yeah.
No,
if you
I
like
think
any kind of game, it's great.
I was along for the journey. Like, dude. I was all about the genre of game.
The first,
you know,
like,
I mean, I was laughing my whole, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would
especially because you showed me, honestly.
Like the first,
was just
the
like
first 5 minutes, you know, you're playing it and you go like, oh, I think I kind of get what this is, and then it just gets more complex and more complex, and more interesting and more different.
And I, you know, I saw that, you know.
It's really and
that's why it just makes it even more frustrating. But I'm telling you, months, like I would play maybe like every day
it's
on the
incredible.
Toilet. You know what I mean? I'll just get on the toilet and like be like, how do I pass this thing? And it just couldn't.
Let me see what time
I
we
couldn't
got.
Go. I couldn't get past it.
All right, let's wrap this up. I would just give you an update about Pine Grove.
Yeah.
Because we've already done about an hour and 20, which is a good show.
Oh, cool.
It's a good show.
We did good.
I would say Pine Grove, I am probably, it might change, but I've been asked to support, like, open up for them.
What? No way.
Yeah, dude, in Munich.
That is incredible.
They
seem super cool. I went
cool
to Riot Fest in Chicago.
Oh.
And it was a super awesome lineup. It was kind of crazy because, like, it was right after sort of things like slow down the pandemic. It was like the first time going
something came
to
back
a field of people with no mask on, you know, just like incredible. Like, I could never believe that could happen again, you know.
Right,
what I mean,
right?
Like, from being just like stuck at your house, like going out to this like field at Riot Fest and being like, oh my God, we're like drunk watching music. This is incredible. And it was like all these bands like I grew up listening to, but Pine Grove was on the lineup and I sure as hell had to go see them.
You need to
tell
Matt Bigelow that you like him because I just introduced him.
Dude.
And he didn't know who
they
were.
He didn't know. Damn, I messed up. I should have told him. No, I'm a big fanboy and like,
that singer, that voice, there's something about that voice.
They have a great vibe on set and presence. Like, that's incredible. Let me know. I'll show up.
Dude.
They played here not too long ago, but it was like
Civic Theater or where?
They played at the Republic. And I was just like,
okay.
I'm not going to go see
that's
them
a bad,
at the Republic.
It's a bad venue.
So, yeah, I didn't make it to that show, but
there's a venue in Munich that's pretty big. It's called like Zenith.
Yeah.
And like Jack White and people will play there. It's pretty big, but the sound is so bad that I never go.
Yeah.
I just never go. It's terrible.
You can only, what's that? Oh my God. What's that? That, I guess it was more like a club that we went to.
Us?
What was it called?
You and me went there?
Yeah. We went, it was like 3 in the morning. It was like this, this like
oh, that little small one.
Yeah.
That small little like Polish bar or whatever. Right. Did the karaoke place with the lights, the disco lights?
Oh, that was a good time. No, but I was talking about like this
great party.
This it was like this room just like full of lights that were all like in sync to like whatever song was playing.
Sauna. It was hot and steamy, and yes. Those old 70s rotator lights were in there.
It was
that's a good club, dude. Sauna in Munich is a good club.
I've been wanting to like recreate that here ever since being a part of that.
There's something about the natural wood, the steamy, hot, foggy room, and those really like legitimate expensive old 70s Led Zeppelin lights, like,
but also just like the like song choices, yeah, like the music energy fun. In there, and just like the way they like set it up to be like just this like nostalgic kind of like dance night that just like was so good.
I guess that place is going to be open soon, and you and I have to go back.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby.
So let's go. So the Fresh Ground video is going to be in the description. Worklight's website will be there. I'll put Bruno's Instagram as well.
I have an Instagram.
Not for long. And no, I'm kidding. And a subtextual, the podcast from Lizzie and from Sam will be listed as well. And hopefully, I do get the. I sent my press kit off today. Hopefully, I do get the Pine Grove gig. I'll find out soon. So, guys, go check out Bruno's work. Worklight Pictures is an amazing filmmaker and a beautiful person. Thank you so much for listening. And any last words?
Thanks for having me, Jordan. I mean, this time I'm glad that like I was able to invite you to my house and we can spend this time in the backyard together.
It's only your house until I eventually move back in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your house at that point.
It's our house.
Yeah, I guess we could share.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, guys. I'll be back next week, and I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.